chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I just say that if you heard any of the news today about the big outbreak of violence over there in Egypt, Cairo, Egypt, and Libya, the attack upon American embassies there, I think maybe you see a little illustration of what we were talking about last night, how quickly some of those crowds erupt into terrible violence and a frenzy and burning the American flag and killing people and all of those things. I'm telling you, friends, we're watching a world that's going downhill fast. Amen. May the Lord help us. Praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles open, Mark chapter 1, then let's stand and read together some scriptures here, starting in verse number 21. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he, Jesus, entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed. I think I'll stop right there. And they were all amazed. Amen. Let's pray. Let's open up our hearts for the Word of God tonight. Lord, we thank you and praise you for these scriptures that we have read. And once again, Lord, we need your grace. We need your presence. We need your anointing. I need you to anoint my lips that I might speak the things that you've given me to say. But we also need for you to anoint our ears that we might hear what the Spirit would say to the church tonight. And we'll give you the praise, Lord, for all that you want to do among us. Lord, please have your way in this Wednesday night of revival. And we'll give you the thanks and the praise, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And everybody say amen. Praise God. You may be seated tonight. I'm going to draw your attention to verse number 24, which is basically the middle of this story that we have read tonight. And one phrase there, it was a phrase of words spoken by that demon-possessed man. "Let us alone." I want to use that phrase tonight, and I trust the Lord's going to help us. Well, let me tell you, this is a message that I feel like the Lord has spoken to me for several weeks now to preach. I didn't know which night I would preach it, but I'm trusting that the Lord's going to help us in this service tonight. Amen. This is a serious subject, but one that I feel like is important in the hour that we're living in. Serious in the fact that, as you see here, it resembles last night's message in the fact that it has to do with a demon-possessed man. None of us likes talking about the ugly darkness of demons, but yet we cannot ignore the fact that the Bible deals with the subject and that Jesus frequently dealt with them. What's difficult is when you speak of demons, some people think that it puts you in the Stone Age. Somehow, speaking of demons is like talking about poltergeists and ghosts and, you know, spooks. And it makes you look silly in the eyes of the educated world. A world that gives titles to every kind of disorder, every kind of illness, every kind of mental illness, but will not recognize or admit the presence of demons in our world. Amen. Now let me tell you, I'm not one of those that sees a demon behind every corner or under every rock. And I don't want to get you thinking in that way either. Amen. I'm not here to glorify the devil in any way, shape, or form. And so it's kind of a difficult subject, but I certainly do believe that there is an unseen world of activity that's going on tonight. I do believe that there is spiritual war going on tonight, invisible to the human eye. But I believe in angels tonight. I believe in the ministers of heaven. I believe in the messengers of heaven. I believe in the powerful angels that are mentioned throughout the Bible. Amen. I believe in them. I believe that they're singing around the throne of God tonight, and they represent so many things to us. But if you're going to admit that there are angels, you have to also admit that there are those fallen angels. Fallen angels. Those that joined in league with Lucifer and were cast out of heaven and have been labeled forever now as enemies of God, devils, demons, fallen angels. Y'all going to help me preach for a little while tonight? I told you last night that I don't consider myself to be necessarily a prophecy preacher, but I do talk about prophecy and I'm intrigued by it. And I am one of them that believes that we are fastly approaching the end times if we aren't right in the middle of it already. Amen. I do believe in prophecy. I love to study it. I also told you last night that I'm not a demonologist. And when I use that term, you may or may not have understood what I meant. But demonology, of course, is a specific study of the world of demons and devils and all of that. I have no degree in that, and I'm certainly not lending myself to that subject alone. But I first heard that term when we were in Montana about 3 years ago, preaching a revival up there for Brother Mike Metzger, and he told me the terrifying story of a battle that they went through some time ago, several years ago. It was literally a satanic battle. It was a demonic struggle that they got in, especially one of their daughters that got under a dark attack. And it was a dark time in their life, and they didn't really know what to do. But the Lord had brought a man into their life miraculously. He actually flew all the way from Indiana out to Montana, and he was a man that said he was not an exorcist. He didn't believe necessarily in exorcism, but he said he was a demonologist, that he had studied it, and of all things, he was a Mennonite man from up in northern Indiana. And I talked to Brother Metzger today to remind me of his name, and his name was Hotstetler, and he was a man that had given himself to years of study about how demons from the Bible, to understand a little bit of their activity and how they work. And God used that Mennonite man to bring deliverance to that family through his counsel and through his prayers and his knowledge of the Scriptures. I don't understand all of that. Amen. We are Holy Ghost people. We believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, don't we? Amen. And we are prayerful people too. But I don't think that we often understand what is going on when we enter into these spiritual battles. In fact, I have a tendency to think that many of you tonight have been in the midst of the battle, but you've never really thought about the degree of the battle that you are in. What is the source of the struggle that you are in? And the reality is, friend, we have an enemy. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. And he has an army that are in allegiance to him. And they are directly opposed to the progress of the church. And I certainly believe tonight that they are active in this world. And they are wreaking havoc upon our world. Amen. And the farther we get away from God, the more demon activity we will see. I believe that the Bible paints a frightening picture of the end times. One of the things that we read about concerning the end times is that Satan will come down with great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. It seems to imply that there will be more satanic activity in the last days. There's another scripture that tells us that at one point in the tribulation, wherever it is, and as I said, that's not my expertise, but I know that there's a place in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, that tells us that at some point, a bottomless pit is opened, and creatures come up out of it that are demons that are going to torment human beings in ways previously unthought of. Now, that may not be a normal Wednesday night message in the middle of revival, but I have a point in telling you this tonight, and I hope that you'll bear with me for a few minutes. I believe that Jesus told us concerning the end times that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It seems to imply that there's going to be a great rise of evil in the end times, and that if we're not careful, amen, it will have a cooling, chilling effect upon our relationship with God. So much so that Jesus said that when the Son of Man comes, we'll even find faith upon the earth. I'm not predicting gloom upon the church. I believe in a glorious church, not a gloomy church. I believe that there's going to be a glorious church when Jesus comes back. I'm telling you tonight, I believe that Jesus is coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I believe in revival. I believe that we can have a move of God in the midst of the years. We can have a move of God. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to see the great awakenings like that in the past where millions will get saved, but there is that possibility. But the reality is, amen, that there is also going to be an enormous amount of satanic activity in the end times. And so I delve into this subject. Monday night, I tried to preach to you about supply line warfare and remind us that our daily devotions are important to us, so important to us that Satan tries to distract and disrupt our daily devotions. I tried to paint the picture for you last night, and one more time tonight, if the Lord will help me, I want to visit this realm just a little bit. Amen. The Bible tells us here that Jesus is in Capernaum, and he goes on the Sabbath day to the synagogue, a little church in that village called Capernaum, a gathering place for serious students of the Scripture in the Jewish tradition. And so Jesus goes into the synagogue and he begins to teach, which was part of their tradition as they would gather together. They would ask if there was anybody there that would like to read from the Scriptures that day. And if somebody so felt inclined, they would take the book from the leader of the synagogue and they would read the Scripture and maybe make some comments. And apparently Jesus did that and seized the opportunity to begin to teach them. We don't have a record of what he taught on. The Bible says here that they were amazed at his doctrine. So it was some sort of doctrinal discussion. But while he's teaching, their mouths fall open. Their eyes get big. They are hearing a man teach like they've never heard teach before. Amen. He's got authority in his voice. It's like he knows this stuff. You know what? He didn't only know it. He didn't only write the Word. He is the Word. Praise God. Amen. They had the Word incarnate in their sanctuary that day. Praise God. Hallelujah. And in the middle of that service, while he's teaching, the Bible tells us that there was a man with an unclean spirit that begins to cry out. Amen. This is interesting here and worthy of our discussion tonight to think about. Amen. Because the words here tell us and shed a little bit of light upon the condition of this man. First of all, devils and devil is mentioned multiple times throughout the Bible. Devil sometimes refers as an alternative word to Satan or Lucifer. Devils refer to those fallen angels. It's mentioned 48 times in the Bible. Evil spirits or spirit singular is mentioned 13 times in the Bible. But unclean spirit is only mentioned 11 times. And here it's mentioned a couple of times. And by the way, the one we read about last night had an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit gives a certain description of that spirit that had a hold of this man. He had an unclean spirit. Amen. I think that there are three key elements to this story. First of all, the fact that they were in the synagogue. The synagogue, the setting for the encounter with Christ. That's significant to us. Amen. Secondly, and probably most importantly, is the Savior. Praise God. I'm glad for the Savior coming into the synagogue. Amen. I'm glad the Savior is in the sanctuary here tonight. Praise God. What would we be if the Savior wasn't here? But where two or three are gathered in my name, he says, there will I be in the midst of you. And he is here tonight, praise God. In fact, why don't you just close your eyes and lift your hands and thank him for being in our midst tonight.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. We recognize your presence.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Not only the synagogue, the Savior, but a soul set free. That's where I want to get to before this is all over tonight. So I don't want this to be a completely hopeless picture that I'm painting for you. Amen. But let me tell you what really disturbs me when I read along through here. First of all, the fact that we see a dirty spirit in a holy place. Hello? Anybody home? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I said it disturbs me that there is a dirty spirit in a holy place. Amen. That's right. I don't know exactly how long it's gone on. I don't know how long this man has attended this synagogue. Amen. But the Bible tells us that there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. It then raises some questions. As we think about how shocking it is that there's an unclean spirit in the house of God. Come on now, I need your help tonight. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. I said it ought to be shocking to us that there's an unclean spirit in the house of God. And it begs the question, amen, was it never evident before? Had this ugly spirit never reared its ugly head before? Amen. Had this man never showed out? Was there never this ugly side of him shown before? Or is it the possibility that nobody there really knew how to deal with it? Or the possibility that nobody there wanted to deal with it? Amen. There is the possibility that they knew this man, his reputation, his dark side. But maybe he's a well-known man in the community, regardless of his spiritual affliction. Amen. Maybe he's a good supporter of the local church. Whatever the reason is, nobody has dealt with this, though this man has been sitting there in the synagogue. Amen. And you may be wondering tonight what in the world that has to do with us. I'll tell you exactly what it has to do with us. Because there are some unclean spirits, amen, in the house of God. If not necessarily here, I know that it is a growing, shocking fact. The unclean spirits that are appearing in the holy places around the country, in the holy house of God, in the holy house of God, not just in the ancient world, but in the present world. Unclean spirits in a holy place. That ought to be shocking and frightening to us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let me tell you something as we try to apply this to the end times. And again, to go along with some of the other things I've already said. As I studied the book of Revelation, and as you do too, the first couple of chapters, of course, is the introduction. It's John's telling us about his experience on the island of Patmos and the Holy Ghost. He was caught in the Spirit. But then as he begins to unravel the mysteries of the end time, the first thing he does is tell us about the seven churches of Asia. Now, there's a lot of discussion about these seven churches and what they represent, the most common application is to think of the seven churches as representing seven different church ages. And I think that that's an interesting theory, but I would propose to you tonight that it's just a theory and one of several. Amen. We don't know that for sure. What we know for sure is that these were seven churches that actually existed in the time of John. John, amen, was personally acquainted with these churches. And so Jesus tells John by the Spirit to write to the messengers of those churches, the angels, which means messenger. I believe it means the pastor of those churches. To write to the pastor of those churches and describe to them the actual condition of their churches. Five of the seven received a stern rebuke from the Lord, who told them basically, in the simple version, repent or else. Repent or else. I'm going to take away your candlestick. Repent or else I'm going to cast you into great tribulation. Five out of seven, amen, six, really, that didn't receive a glowing report. Really, only one that received great compliments from the Lord. That was the early church. The one that sometimes we glorify as being perfect, but already had deteriorated in John's day to some, in some cases, a miserable condition. Now, I think, it's my opinion, that those seven churches that actually existed back then are also a picture of the condition of the church just before the end times. Actually, seven different conditions, seven different problems that will plague the church just before, amen, the other events of the book of Revelation. Amen. Let me tell you, the Bible tells us that judgment must begin in the house of God. Before God pours out His judgment upon the world, amen, He's going to put a spotlight on the condition of the church. And, amen, some of the things that will be seen in the church are not going to be a pretty sight to see. Because if it's anything like it was in those seven churches of Asia, we're going to find out, amen, that one of those churches, the Bible tells us, had a Jezebel that was teaching in that church. Amen. And she was an immoral person, and she was also encouraging immorality within the church. And Jesus said to deal with that. Amen. And I'm telling you that it appears to me that at least in that church, an unclean spirit had shown itself in a holy place. Amen. That's remarkable to me. Amen. Remarkable to me. It is shocking. But the reality is, friend, there are unclean spirits all around us out in the world, but they are now showing up even inside the church. Amen. And the inventions of our world are only complicating the thing. Amen. While we can sing the praises of modern technology, in a lot of ways, it is amazing. And I hope that you don't fall out with me, but I have to be honest and tell you that we use the Internet. It's great for us that travel. We can do our banking and pay our bills and all of those things when we're gone for weeks on end. It's amazing how that all works. But we understand also the great dangers of the Internet and the things that our people have been exposed to. Amen. And I'm cautioning you tonight. We've got a great group of young people here, and I'm really impressed to see all of these young people on a Wednesday night. I'm not preaching tonight necessarily against the technology, but I'm telling you that there are real dangers out there, and you need to be careful, because one click can take you to a place, amen, that will expose you to things that are going to be very difficult for you to ever get out of your mind, and the possibility that some spirit that is attached to that pornographic stuff. Amen. Not just the pictures, but the articles and the information that's available brings with it a spirit that can easily get a hold of your heart and create addictions that will be hard to break. And I'm telling you that I know that it is a fact that there's an unclean spirit that is sweeping through our world and is beginning to get a hold of the hearts of people, even in our holiness churches. Somebody say amen tonight. Praise God. Oh, help us tonight, Lord. Please help us. Amen. I don't know why that I have felt impressed to specifically preach this here tonight. Maybe it's just a caution, a warning, because of the possibility of something you might face in the days to come. Or it may be possible that there is somebody sitting on a church pew tonight in the very house of God, in a holiness church, with a holiness pastor and holiness singers and musicians, in the very house of God, in the holy presence of God. But you, amen, have an unclean spirit. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. Something's got a hold of you. Amen. I hope that it's not true. I hope it's not true. Amen. But I'm hoping tonight that if it is true, you'll come in contact with Him who is able to set you free and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and change your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. An unclean spirit in the house of God. I'm telling you, amen, that there's the possibility that we have, amen, that we have dirty minds in the house of God, dirty mouths in the house of God, dirty money in the house of God, amen, dirty motives in the house of God. There's a possibility that an unclean spirit, amen, that is in the world is creeping, amen, into the very hearts of the people of God. And if we're not careful, there will be unclean worship. If you don't think that's possible, then why do you think that the Bible says, lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting? We're told that because it's the possibility that your hands would be unholy. Amen. We're supposed to lift up holy hands. Oh, my friends, there's an uncleanness in this world. Amen. I know that we have to work in this world and live in this world and move in this world. But as we go through this world, we've got to be careful that we don't become infected with the world. That the same dirtiness that is out there will be brought right into here. My friend, God wants to deliver us from that uncleanness. Amen. Praise God. One of the great illustrations of this was told by Jesus. Amen. At the Last Supper. Amen. When Jesus was talking to the disciples about washing their feet. And the Apostle Peter protested. He said, no, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. Amen. Peter, you know, being an impetuous one, he said, all right then, Lord, wash my head, my hands, all of me. The Lord, amen, had to talk to him again about that extreme. He said, if you're already washed, you don't have to be re-washed all again, just your feet. Amen. I believe that the implication here is even a saved person walking through this world, amen, there's going to be a certain amount of dirt that gets on your feet just walking through this world. Amen. You walk through the checkout line at the store and there's dirt all around. You. Come on. Amen. You go to work, you don't want to think dirty, but then the guys you're working with are telling those dirty jokes and using that foul language. Amen. You didn't choose there, but I'm telling you, walking in this world, there's a certain amount of dirt, but we need to get to the presence of Jesus and let Him wash the dirt from our feet because we don't want to carry the dirt, amen, into the house of God. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean we have to get re-saved every time, but we do need to guard and be careful about our walk as we walk through this world. Amen. Brother Green, as a young Christian, when I hadn't been saved too long, and I had a dream. The Lord gave me a dream. I was just a new Christian. And in this dream, I saw myself walking with the Lord. And I didn't see His face, but I knew that it was Him. He was in sparkling white, and I was walking right alongside of Him. And while we were walking and I was admiring how dazzling white his garments were, I looked down at mine and I saw that all along the fringe of my robe there were splatters of mud and dirt. And I said, Lord, haven't we been walking together? And he said, Son, be careful where you step. Amen. Praise God. And I woke up from the dream and I began to realize that even walking with the Lord, you still have to take precautions because of the mud puddles of this world. I said, the mud puddles of this world, it's a dirty world. It's an evil world. It's a sin-cursed world. We cannot imagine the ugliness that is outside there. Their imaginations are only evil continuously. It's on the television. It's on the radio. It's in the books. It's on the movies. Come on now, help me preach tonight. I'm telling you that all they think of is dirtiness and filthiness all the time. You drive down the highway and you see the evidences in these horrible places of entertainment. Amen. It's a dirty world that we live in. Amen. But let us protect, amen, the house of God so that we don't have unclean spirits in the very sanctuary of God. Hallelujah. But listen, having said that, I don't want you to get the impression that that means we should never make welcome those who are unsaved. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Or those who have never experienced Christ. And certainly when they come in, they're going to come in soiled by sin, just like you were and just like I was. But let me put it this way. Amen. The Bible tells us, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Really, that's the temple I'm talking about. Amen. The temple of God. Your body where the Holy Ghost lives. You can't control what everybody else does, but you need to be careful that an unclean spirit does not get in to this temple. Amen. Praise God. Not only do I see here a dirty spirit in a holy place, but I see a stubborn resistance to a helpful face. Amen. Now think about this. This man with an unclean spirit, he's there in church that day. And he's hearing Jesus talk. He's hearing Jesus teach. And all of a sudden, this wells up within him. And the first thing he says is, leave us alone! Huh? Amen. King James actually says, let us alone, but it just feels more natural to me. That's the way I say it, and I think you know that they're very similar. Amen. The first thing he says is, leave us alone. Amen. Praise God. A stubborn resistance to a helpful face. Amen. Here's Jesus. He is teaching the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He is trying to lead them to a better life, to show them that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And some spirit wells up inside this man, and he hollers out, leave us alone! Amen. Oh my. Y'all hold on for just a little bit. Because if you think that this is only the cry of some demon-possessed man from ancient times, you're wrong. This is a contemporary cry. This is a cry from the lips and lives of many people here today. Amen. Maybe even in this very house of God tonight. Amen. It is a cry of many when they encounter Christ, leave us alone. Amen. It's certainly the cry of many who come into our holiness churches and hear our preachers as they rail against sin and rail against worldliness and rail against carnality. Amen. Leave us alone. Amen. And there they go out the door. They don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be troubled. They don't want to be disrupted by the reality of who He is and what He can do. Just leave us alone. Amen. Oh my. Praise God. Amen. I think that I have seen this resistance. Amen. Rejection and even rebellion in Pentecostal churches, holiness churches. Amen. I've seen it get a hold of our young people, but not just young people. Amen. I've I've pastored long enough. I've pastored 5 churches, as a matter of fact, over the last 32 years. And I've seen enough activity to let you know that there's people that it would surprise you to see their reaction when you begin to bear down on some things and you begin to put your finger on, amen, certain things, amen. Leave us alone, amen, even to try to stir them up to good works, not just to derail their bad works, but to stir them up to good works, to try to get them moving in their worship and in their prayer life. And leave us alone. Amen. There's some sort of a resistance, even a rebellion, when the Spirit of God begins to expose the weaknesses of their lives. Or maybe I should say our lives tonight. Amen. Amen. Leave us alone. It's kind of like hanging a do not disturb sign on your motel door. Amen. You hang it on the doorknob of your heart. Do not disturb. Amen. Let me just come to church and sit down here on this padded pew, and maybe it'll chalk me up some points in heaven because I came to church. But don't disturb me. Don't require anything of me. Don't tell me that I have to give up this or that. Don't expect anything out of me. Don't disturb me. Just leave me alone. Amen. Praise God. It's the contemporary cry. We don't really want revival, amen, in a lot of cases. The reality is we're comfortable in a lot of cases the way we are. We like it the way that it is. You mean, amen, you want to bring in new people? Somebody might just happen to get my favorite seat. Leave it alone, amen. Come on now, amen. I've certainly seen the churches over the years, and I told you the other night, maybe I shouldn't have let it slip. Maybe I shouldn't let it slip now, except to tell you that even recently, amen, I have seen the results of churches that have dug their heels in. They don't want change. Amen. The pastors are overworked, overwhelmed, and discouraged because they can't make any progress while the church sits there and says, leave us alone. Amen. There's 3 things about this cry, Brother Prescott, that I see here. Number one, that cry is a satanic cry. It is a satanic cry. It's devil-inspired. Amen. We know that it's true here because we know that this man has an unclean spirit. And we know that he is devil-possessed, and Jesus delivers him from a devil. And so we know that this outburst, this cry, comes from the devil. In fact, the Bible says here that there was a man, singular. But when he spoke, he said, let us alone. What do we have to do with you? There is a plural in that voice. So it's the voice of the man speaking, but it's the voice of a demon attached to it. It's demon, evil, unclean spirit inspired. It's a satanic cry. Please don't lend your lips to the devil. Amen. Don't let the devil inspire you to tell Jesus to leave you alone. Amen. That's what's happening. There's a resistance to the Word of God. There's a resistance to change and doing right and doing what God wants you to do. And it's satanically inspired. It's a rebellion is what it is. Amen. Praise God. It's the devil that puts up walls to try to keep salvation out. It's the devil that puts up walls, amen, fills the mind with lies to keep the truth out. It's the devil, amen, that speaks through the lips and lives and the lost to say, leave us alone. And, amen, I know that I'm struggling tonight. And you may be struggling to hear this, but I really believe, amen, that there is someone in this service tonight that's been resisting God, resisting a move of the Spirit, resisting the pleadings of Jesus, resisting, amen, the love of God. You've been holding back, sitting down, holding out. You may have your reasons, but I'm telling you tonight that has satanic roots and you need to guard against it. I tried to preach to you last night. I tried to tell you, you keep going down this road and you're going to go down downhill fast. But here you are back again tonight, and the Lord's trying to tell you that that's something inside of you that keeps saying, just leave me alone, just leave me alone. It's a satanic-inspired cry that's coming up out of your heart. Amen. Praise God, but if that's too harsh and too hard, it's not just a satanic cry, it's a sinful cry. Remember, this man has an unclean spirit. It's a sinful cry. Amen. He does not want to give up his uncleanness. He does not want to give up those things that he loves so much. He knows, amen, that there's a pollution about it, but he still loves it. He still likes watching it. He still likes reading it. He still likes playing those games. Come on now. Amen. Nobody else knows about it, but he knows. And he doesn't want anybody interfering with that because it's sin. And he loves his sin. He loves his pleasure. Amen. But let me tell you this, the real sin here is not so much, amen, whatever pleasure it is that he's affixed to. Amen. The real, real heart of his sin here is shown in his rejecting Jesus. But Brother Blue, he didn't really know Jesus. Oh, yeah. He had a Spirit-inspired revelation of who he was. Not necessarily Holy Spirit, but the devils inside of him recognized it was Jesus right away. Let me read you exact words here. The Bible tells us here, amen, that they go on to say, amen, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art. It becomes personal again. It's like he's received a revelation. I know who you are. I know you who you are. Amen. You're the Holy One of God. Amen. Other demons recognized him as the Son of David, Son of God. But this unclean man notices him as the Holy One. Sinfulness contacting holiness. Amen. And what an encounter it was. And so I'm saying to you tonight that the real sin here is he knows who Jesus is, and yet he's pushing Jesus away. He knows who Jesus is, but he's refusing to accept the offer of help, at least in this moment. And he's restricting the work of God in this sanctuary, amen, in this synagogue. I'm telling you tonight that there's something inside of me that says, the heart of your sin, sir, ma'am, tonight, the real root of the matter is that you're pushing Jesus away. Amen. Hallelujah. You will not be held unaccountable for that. The Bible tells us that if we want to be saved, we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got to accept Jesus. We have to receive Jesus. We have to believe and confess Him with our lips. We've got to center our life on Jesus. And not to have Jesus is the worst of all of the sins. And can I tell you also that this cry is not only a satanic cry or a sinful cry, but it's a very selfish cry. He's only thinking of himself. Amen. He's a satisfied person that wants his own way, looking out for his own best interest. And the voice that's speaking from himself is speaking for himself. Leave me alone. Amen. Leave me alone. He's not thinking about his family and how it's affecting his family. Leave me alone. He's not thinking about how it might affect his friends. Leave me alone. He's not thinking about how it affects his community. Leave me alone. How it affects his church. Leave me alone. Amen. It's a selfish cry. A selfish cry. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Oh, Lord, we need deliverance tonight. Amen. I have encountered a few evil spirits in my day. Amen. And it's a frightening thing. It really is. In fact, one night I was preaching, and I think I could feel in a little degree what Jesus might have felt that day. I was preaching, amen, come down off the platform like is my custom and like I am right now. And I was preaching away, And suddenly a man had been sitting up towards the front, jumped up and ran up and started choking me while I was preaching. Amen. I couldn't say a word. He had his hands around my neck and was choking me. I don't know what the outcome would have been. Now, I know as long as I preached last night, some of you would have liked to choke me last night. Maybe you want to choke me tonight. I'll back up a couple of steps. But I'm serious. He put his hands around my neck, and the only thing that I know of that changed the whole situation is Brother Ray Riggs saw what was going on. And Brother Ray jumped up out of his pew, and he ran up to the front, and he looked that man in the eye and said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And boom, that man fell down on the floor. Amen. Praise God. I was there. It happened to me. I saw it. Amen. There was some resistance to the gospel, some resistance to the word of God that caused him to act that way. And thank God we prayed with him, and he got deliverance that night. Amen. I believe that there's deliverance. I really do. I believe in deliverance. Amen. We had youth camp in Missouri. A group from Taiwan came. A missionary brought a group of teenagers from Taiwan. And those Taiwanese teenagers were so precious, and we loved them. But it was really a surprise one night when we got in a Holy Ghost service, and suddenly this girl, amen, fell down on the floor and started slithering across the floor like a snake. I mean, literally, crawling across the floor like a snake. Amen. And we prayed with her until finally she got deliverance. Thank God she got deliverance. The missionary said in those countries, those Asian countries like that, they have so many false gods and idols. And they literally pray to demon gods, and many of them are demon possessed. And that girl got deliverance that night. I'm glad she came all the way from Taiwan to be in our little youth camp in Missouri so God could help her. Amen. Praise God. Don't tell me it's not real. Amen. We prayed all night, my pastor and his wife and I, for a cousin of LaDonna's back before we got married. Amen. She laid on that couch and went alternately back and forth between her sweet feminine voice and a deep, gruff male voice. Amen. And saying all kinds of mean things. But finally, early in the morning, she got deliverance. Praise God. I can tell you, just last year, we were at youth camp in Gilbertown, and a woman wasn't even one of the youth campers, but she was there for the night service. Amen. She was out in the vestibule pacing back and forth, and somebody overheard her murmuring and saying things, and he stopped and said, "What is it, ma'am?" And he knew her and called her by name. She said, "I think I'm just going to go home and kill myself. That's what I'm going to do." He said, "No, let us pray with you." They got her down to the altar, and those young people gathered around, and they started praying. Amen. The crowd was big, and I was up on a platform like this, and I could see down in there, and I saw her face as red can be, fire engine red. And I saw her pushing people away. "Leave me alone! Leave me alone! Don't touch me! Get your hands off me!" And they prayed on and prayed on and prayed on. You be quiet! You leave me alone!" I heard it. I saw it. But then I also saw, amen, when something broke inside of her. Her countenance changed. The tears came. And suddenly, amen, as we began to pray in the name of Jesus, the whole congregation, I believe somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 people or so, started, amen, hollering, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And by the power of the name of Jesus, that woman got deliverance. Praise God. I'm glad to tell you tonight, there's deliverance. It doesn't matter the unclean spirit and the power of the devil. Amen. Where Jesus is, there's freedom. Where Jesus is, there's deliverance. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Which is why I got to tell you this last thing about this man's cry. Yes, it was a satanic cry, a sinful cry, and a selfish cry. But I believe that it was also a superficial cry. If we would have been in that congregation, all we would have known is what we heard with our ears. Amen. But that external of that man didn't reveal the whole story. Amen. I'm glad that we as Christians, sometimes we, in the depth of our soul, we can hear the still, small voice of God. But don't you think that that reverse is true? That He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And down in the depth of our heart, regardless of the cry of our lips, don't you think the Lord knows that down in there somewhere, amen, this is superficial, amen, it's ugly, it's bad, it really is. But Jesus hears of something coming up out of the depth of that man. And He knows that this man really, in the depth of his heart, he wants to be different. He wants to change. He wants to be delivered. And He's there for him. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, He is. Amen. Jesus tells those demons to come out of him. Leave him alone. They tear at him. That's just the meanness of the devil. Why would anybody want to knowingly serve the devil? I don't know. He's a mean old devil. He tears people up, tears families up, tears homes up, tears lives up. Amen. And he tried to tear this man up one last time, but Jesus drove him out. And then the Bible says that they were all amazed. Praise God. Amen. That's amazing grace. They were all amazed. Amen. That's amazing grace. Praise God. Jesus delivered him. Amen. LaDonna, if you'd come with a song, please. I'm getting ready to close this, but I need to ask somebody some questions tonight. So please listen to me just a moment longer. I really am about to close. I want to ask you, do you really want Jesus to leave you alone? Huh? Is that what you really want? Is for Jesus to just leave you alone? It may sound like a tough thing for you to say right now. Teenagers trying to find their way in life. Get a little resistant and rebellious. But really, do you really want Him to leave you alone? I mean, do you want Him to go away? Do you want Him to quit speaking to you? Quit dealing with you? Stop knocking on your heart's door? Convicting you? Drawing you? I think that there's something inside you that knows it's time to let Jesus help you with the problems of life. Stand with me tonight. Pray tonight, church. There have been distractions even in this service. There is a battle going on even in this place tonight. I didn't want to have to swing this sword. But you keep saying, "Leave me alone." And it's going to set a course in your life. It's going to become the attitude of your life. And how long would it be until God says, "All right then. If that's the way you want it, I'll leave you alone." You need scripture for that? "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy." But God's pleading with you tonight. Jesus is here to help you. I'm grateful tonight that even though you've been pushing him away of recent days or weeks, that he's still come back to speak to you and deal with you and help you tonight. He may deal with you again tomorrow night, Sunday, and a week from Sunday. But he doesn't owe that to you. So please, don't keep pushing him away. Are you praying, church? He's knocking on somebody's heart's door tonight. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. And we'll sup with him and he with me. Don't hang that do not disturb sign on your doorknob. Let's pray. God, please, tonight, speak to somebody, Lord. I've only been able to speak to their ears and not very good at that. But you need to speak to their hearts, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would make somebody aware tonight that you're here to help them, to deliver them with amazing grace. Is there somebody here tonight that feels compelled to come to this altar? Somebody that feels compelled. Tonight is the night that God has spoke to you. And your rebellion, your resistance, having a terrible effect upon your relationship with God. Come on now. Come on. This altar was always open. I didn't have to preach as long as I preached tonight. But I've been pleading, pulling, hoping that I could sense a break in somebody, a movement towards this place of prayer. I don't know why it is that in today's revivals, the evangelists have to beg and plead for people to accept Christ. It ought to be you begging and pleading for Christ to accept you. Run to Him tonight. This is a dangerous day. You need Him now more than ever before. I'm going to call you all to the altar in just a minute, but I'm waiting. Jesus, God. Why don't you do the opposite tonight and come say, Lord, don't leave me alone. Lord, don't leave me alone. Please, Lord, don't quit dealing with me. Please don't quit speaking to me. Huh? Please, Lord, you know all about me, but please don't leave me in this condition. You know everything I've said and everything I've done and everywhere I've been, but please, Lord, please don't leave me alone. Are you coming? It may not be that you have a full demon possession going on in your life. But maybe you need to come and just say, Jesus, wash my feet. I haven't been very careful where I've been walking lately. I don't want to live an unclean life with an unclean mind, with an unclean attitude, with unclean desires, unclean habits. Please, Lord, clean me up here before it gets to that point. Come on, I'm waiting to see. If you feel like God is dealing with you and talking to you, that Jesus has come into the house, and you know who He is and what He can do for you, come on. Come on. This dirty, filthy world that we live in. I want to be clean and holy before Him. I know who You are, Holy One of God. All right, church, come on. Come on, let's all pray. Maybe you want to pray with somebody or for somebody. Let's all find a place to seek the Lord tonight. This is revival week. Maybe we're a little off schedule. Maybe we've got some late nights. But don't we really want to take advantage of these nights to get a little closer to the Lord?